It's just after 2. Time for Murph and Andy on 1460 KXNO, Des Moines Sports Station.
Welcome to the Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO on a Wednesday, National Signing Day. Keith Murphy, Andy Fales, and Andrew Downs. And a little different this year. National Signing Day is just not anywhere near as significant as it has been in past years because most of the recruits signed back in December with that new early signing day period. So here we are 6 weeks later, but there were still some recruits left out there, and that still creates some buzz.
Yeah, and you're not pulling back the curtain on anything, but at the same time, I feel like maybe people are talking about it more this year because of the basketball situation and because Iowa State did as well as they did in the football season. And because, yeah, you know that you have some known commodities coming in at Iowa that people are excited about. So just kind of hearing those names again, having another reason to talk about them again, and being able to legitimately put football ahead of basketball right now, you know, without forcing it, I think that makes it a little bigger.
Well, as you mentioned, Iowa State more relevant than maybe in many past years, and the Cyclones do get the recruit that the fans were kind of leaning in on to see if he would pick Iowa State. It seems like he was leaning that way, and he did. That's quarterback Brock Purdy, a 3-star quarterback out of Arizona. And Andy, this is where it always gets your interest because he picks Iowa State over Alabama and Texas A&M.
Right. I just hear those words. And that's all I need to hear. Because I don't know anything else about him. I don't know what he looked like in high school. I don't know what the level of competition is there. I assume it's better than Iowa.
It's pretty good in Arizona, and he is the Arizona Gatorade Football Player of the Year.
But is this a 4-star recruit?
3-star.
3-star. So they have a 4-star, a 3-star, and a few 3-stars maybe, and then a whole bunch of 2-stars.
Yeah, Joseph Skates is considered the best recruit Matt Campbell's landed. So
people are very excited about him.
Yep.
He's
the receiver. And Iowa.
He also picked them over some big names.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted him.
Yeah. Iowa State got in early on him. And as the Des Moines Register article today, I think it was Tommy Birch, mentioned that they stood by him and his 1.9 GPA at some point, which was kind of giving others some pause. And he and his mom both said Iowa State stood by him through that. Iowa lands its best recruiting class in at least 5 years. And there are, I'm sure, several reasons for that. But one of them is becoming the, you see guys like Josie Jewell and Josh Jackson and Akram Wadley. They're 2-star guys that end up being invited to the NFL Draft Combine. But then another thing that's happening here is, I think if you're a defensive back, you got to give Iowa a look.
They got a run going.
Yeah, they're developing.
But they've always
guys.
Done well at that position, but they're on a hot streak.
And a hot streak with guys that are not the 4- and 5-star guys. The Josh Jacksons, there's a 2-star guy that was a unanimous All-American this year and just had a fantastic season. Desmond King.
But that's
King
a weird
before
situation,
him.
Though, isn't it? I mean, how do you recruit that? Does that make you look for more 2-stars, or does that make you go to the 5-stars and say, hey, look what we did with the 2-star?
You want the 5-star guys if you can get them.
Yeah, you want.
But I think what it does is if you are a 2-star guy who thinks that you should be rated higher.
Can't they get the 2-star guys anyway?
I don't know.
You have to drop that?
I don't follow this closely enough, but we know somebody who does. He considers himself a national recruiting expert. And each year on the Murph and Andy Show, he provides exclusive details that none of these other guys can provide. Even the guys who do nothing but follow recruiting, even locally, nobody is able to break down the Cyclones and Hawkeyes like Chris
Hassel.
Well,
and we should point out that he feels like he has always been in this position where he's very connected, right? Connected
right.
to real recruiting experts. He doesn't think he's an expert.
Have that wrong?
Well, you're being nice to him. He's our friend, you know. I mean, he has resources at his fingertips in these jobs that he's had, you know, at ESPN and now at CBS.
He used to be down in the war room at ESPN, surrounded by all those computers and the recruiting experts.
He's got these big computers all around him. Or he can just grab one of these guys and be like, hey, you know, can you give me a little, you know, one-on-one recruiting breakdown for my team, you know, for Iowa State?
Right.
Can you talk about some of these guys? You know, we've heard a few of these names, but they signed a lot of guys. I mean, can you tell me about, you know, some of these guys that maybe we haven't heard of that, you know, maybe could end up, you know, being the next Josh Jackson or Josie Jewell, somebody that's under the radar, but these we may not know about them, but these recruiting experts, they know about them, right?
Right.
And so they give that information to Chris, and then, you know, Chris is nice enough to share that information with us so we can get kind of a leg up.
We're going to do that.
Watching for these recruits.
We're going to do that in hour two because we want to create like an event, because I think people have grown so accustomed, and I don't know that anyone is saying, hey, the, you know, Hawkeye Nation, Cyclone Fanatic, Des Moines Register, Ames Tribune. I don't think anybody's dismissing the work they do. I think people have just come to count on this day for insights on the Cyclone and Hawkeye recruits, and a couple of times Panthers as well, from Chris Hassel, information they don't hear anywhere else. In fact, last year, I hadn't even heard of any of these recruits.
Yeah, right, and that's the kind of stuff that we get from Chris that you don't get anywhere else. We'll look forward to that.
That's our number two. No way we want to give that up early. Just let the buzz build, as I'm sure it will, across not just Iowa, but other states and countries. Quickie poll is at KXNO.com, Murph and Andy Show platforms. It's presented by WCI Pools and Spas.
Yeah, does a lackluster basketball season make you more interested in football recruiting? Definitely, maybe a little, or nah, it's just not my thing.
It's just not my thing. I want to say maybe a little, but it's just not my thing. And history has shown me that these recruiting classes are not real good indicators of things to come. I mean, Iowa's best recruiting class ever, at least in all my years, was a top 15 recruiting class, and much of that class didn't work out. Sometimes you don't think you have a lot, and it turns out to be a lot. It's just not my thing. I know that this, by the way, I'm in the minority of sports fans, and that's probably because I don't have a team. But this, I have talked to people who work in media at websites. This is their biggest needle mover of the year, National Signing Days. Now it's two different days. Nothing gets people to these sites like recruits.
Why do you think that is?
You want to know you're getting better or you're staying good. You know, you just, yeah, there, you're selling
there's an
hope.
Appeal to the hot stove type talk, right? Because
yes,
you can't be wrong, right? It's really just everything looks rosy. It makes you feel good. It makes you think that your team is on the rise. And, you know, there are very few times anymore where there's one exclusive source of information, and this is kind of one of those times where there are just a few, like Chris, you know, where, I mean,
yeah,
you know, he's going to talk about guys that you never heard of, that you're not going to hear about from anywhere else.
And of it's kind of strange because Iowa and Iowa State don't have these names, which you would think they would.
Well, they do. They're
keeping them
quiet.
They
hide them. You know, some of them. I mean, they don't have that much time. They're not going to talk about every single person, but
sure,
you know,
sure.
This is like one little time when these recruiting sites have all of this information. It's positive information, positive stuff, and so everybody kind of tunes in. Also, it's just kind of a tough time of the year. It is, and for us right now, and that's why I'm more interested this year than I was last year.
You know, it starts tonight.
Well, the Olympics, kind of.
The Olympics, kind of. Yes,
yeah,
the
kind of.
The mixed doubles curling starts tonight on the NBC Sports Network, not on main NBC. The main Olympics, the primetime Olympics on NBC 13 locally, Channel 13 WHO HD. That starts tomorrow night, and then the opening ceremony's Friday night. Todd, what do you think of this recruiting day?
You know, I like to follow the recruits. I think it's kind of a fun little thing to do during a slow period of the year, but being a Hawkeye fan, I really like what the Hawks do. They go out and they find these, you know, 2- and 3-star recruits, and they end up, it seems like out of every class, finding a gym that just really does something spectacular. But I am getting a little bored with it. Like, I would like to see somebody step up and, you know, and try to knock one out of the park every now and again. It's like they're 100% in on this level because that's what they know they're good at. But, man, it sure would be nice just to pull a 4 or a big time 5, You know, like, I think AJ Epineza was our biggest recruit in the last couple of years.
Yeah, he's a five-star, right?
I think they swing for the fences.
I don't feel like they really did this year.
Well, they don't have a five-star. Neither program has a five-star. Iowa State has a four-star.
You don't always connect when you're in Iowa. That's the thing. You may take some swings.
It seems to me like every year Iowa State has somebody that just pops off of the page. I mean, they're recruiting. I mean, their receiver class this year, I would put that receiver class up against any college across the United States. I mean, they come up with some really athletic kids lately, and I just never see that type of athlete in, you know, a black uniform, and it's driving me nuts.
You're saying you feel like over the recent years, Iowa State's recruiting is better than Iowa's?
In the skilled positions, yes.
Well, the receivers, there's no question. If you're going to pick that position, Iowa State's receiving corps has been better than Iowa's. Most of Iowa's recruits have not worked out. Thank you, Todd. You'll get some breakdowns here again in hour number two from Chris Hassel.
Yeah, I think he actually has a receiver, too, that he's bringing up. I mean, if you're a receiver, they're recruiting different types of kids. But if you're a receiver and you're looking at those two offenses, which one's going to appeal to you more as a receiver?
Yes.
It's Iowa State right now.
Yep, and they did pick up a four-star receiver out of Ohio, Joseph Skates. All right, more recruiting talk coming up with Chris Hassel in hour number two. But let's turn to basketball because, well, it seems positive. It's a loss, but it does seem kind of positive, isn't it? I know some people get upset if you find any silver lining in a loss.
Yeah, those people are dumb. There was silver lining last night. That was fun.
Fair enough. Hawkeyes played a thriller. For the most part, Iowa, maybe for the all part before last night, Iowa has either won big or, far more commonly, been blown out of games. Just have not been close games. Last night, a game that comes down to the final shot against number 4, Michigan State, and the Hawks nearly pulled it off. 96-93, the Spartans hang on. So Iowa, still in its most inspired effort of the season, gave up 96 points in regulation. That's clearly a defensive problem, but that's a really talented Michigan State team. Here's how it happened. Michigan State All-American Miles Bridges helps Michigan State to a halftime lead.
Bridges, shot fake. Now he'll let it go and scores. Another three. Over Macy Daly. My goodness, and Daly was in his face. And the Spartans lead at 47-38. And here we go, Bobby, another opponent. Going to hang 50 on the Hawks in the first half, or close to it.
Close to it is right, Gary Dolphin, on the Hawkeye Network. 48-42. At the half, and Bridges is good. We knew that going in. Decided not to get in the draft, came back out. Michigan State is young, but really talented. Jordan Bohannon was a question mark before the game with sickness, like so many people. How are you doing in the morning over at Channel 13? You got anybody out sick? We got Aaron
out sick
right now.
Yeah, Christina is she's out sick. With flu. Yep.
Yeah, it's
got all kinds of people.
It's bad right now, and Bohannon was sick and reportedly even shaking at times during the game, but he plays and hits some big shots.
Bear to Bohannon for three. Rattles it in. That was big. Each team with 5 threes.
So Iowa stays within 6 at 55-49, second half, down 6. Bohannon had 17 points, Iowa rolling, and Tyler Cook takes over for a few
Dumped
minutes.
By Tyler Cook, inside a great pass by Isaiah Moss, and hanging on to Cook's waistband was Kenny Goins. That's all he could do. That's how quick Tyler Cook got off the floor and muscled it through, a two-hand overhead slam, and the Hawks are back in front by one with a chance to extend it to 2.
63-62 at that point. And did you hear that, Andy? Did you catch that?
Yeah, you hear the crowd in the background.
Yes. The Hawkeyes lead, and Cook reminds us he can hang with elite players and an elite team. 26 for Cook. Macy Daly hits a three with 8 minutes to go, and Hawkeye fans start thinking maybe this thing is going to happen.
Far side for Daly. His three is good. Macy Daly, speaking of growing up, the Cleveland Assassin. 81-73, all of a sudden Iowa's up 8.
81-73, so the Hawkeyes go up 8 points thanks to a 3 from the Cleveland Assassin?
Is that the first time we've heard that?
I think it's the first time I've heard it. Cleveland Assassin.
It's the first time I've heard it, but
yeah, okay.
I'm not sure it's the first time it's been
heard. Was there a famous assassin from from Cleveland.
Mayshie Daly.
Mayshie Daly last night hit that three. Miles Bridges made seven straight free throws. He's a 90% shooter. So with free throws and smart play down the stretch, Michigan State outscores Iowa, I think, 13-5 in the final couple of minutes. Most of that comes from the free throw line, and Bridges just can't miss. He gets a key steal, too, so they have to foul him. Michigan State's up three, and this 90% free throw shooter just has to make one to ice the game. He misses both, which gives Iowa a chance to tie from half court.
And he missed them both. Bear with a rebound. Two, Bear across one. The timeline. Let's fly from half court. Hits the front of the rim and comes off. Well, what are you going to say? Tom Izzo certainly has a congratulatory handshake for Fran McCaffrey, but another 2 inches front spin on that shot by Bear would have gone in from just beyond the half court stripe, and we'd have been headed to overtime. 96-93, that's the final. Hawkeyes give it great effort, but come up short against the fourth-ranked Spartans.
Tom Izzo just happy to see anything other than an outside-the-lines reporter. So it's 96-93, the Spartans hang on, and here is Michigan State head coach Tom Izzo and Iowa head coach Fran McCaffrey after a good one at Carver Hawkeye Arena.
I give Fran a lot of credit, you know, more credit than I give myself. I mean, he, you know, tough. Is that a tough season? That team is as good an offensive team as we've played, and they've struggled some defensively. He knows it. We all know it. I don't know why. They're just got to be a little more commitment, the same as us. I mean, I hope you all enjoyed the offensive fireworks tonight, because I don't think either team played any defense, to be honest with you.
They really fought. I mean, I'm really proud of the fight. I mean, I thought the effort consistently was there. I thought, for the most part, you know, the effort's usually there, but it's, you know, it's execution. You know, we only turned it over 8 times. And I thought TC was really good. And we tried to change some defenses a little bit because they're a hard team to guard. They made some big shots.
It was a good game, and Tom Izzo had praise for Fran McCaffrey, and I think it's sincere. But Izzo, more than most coaches, is in that fraternity of you only speak well of coaches. I mean, he was Todd Licklider's biggest public defender down the stretch at the end of the Licklider time. Izzo just could not stop talking about how lucky Iowa was to have Todd Licklider, who was a nice man, but Izzo probably thought, let's keep him there. That's a couple of wins I can chalk up most of the time. But that is good for McCaffrey to hear from Tom Izzo. Now, Luke Meredith, in the Associated Press, mm-hmm. he says that Izzo sounds just like John Bon Jovi, but not when singing, when speaking. So, of course, AD is going to test this theory.
I give Fran a lot of credit, you know, more credit than I give myself. I mean, he, you know, tough. Is that a tough season?
At this stage and phase of my career, you don't really believe that hype as much as you used to. You're just very proud of where you're at right now. So here it is. I'm done.
It's not perfect, but it's there.
It's close. Yeah, it's close.
The inflection.
I mean, it's right after a game, so maybe he's a little bit more gruff. Maybe you need Bon Jovi right after a concert.
Yeah, or maybe Bon Jovi just needs to talk a little faster. He's really taking his time with that.
Well,
but he's a rocker,
man. He's got a nice, relaxed life. Right?
He's seen a million people, and he rocked them all.
Every one of them.
Yeah, every single one. Iowa tries out a new tradition at Carver Hawkeye Arena, or I guess it can't be a tradition if it's the first time, but they want it to be a tradition from what we're told. Stand up for the lineups. Don't sit until the first points are scored. Now,
That's Drake's tradition.
And many other schools, yeah. Right? This is not exclusive or unique. The crowd was into it last night, but the team gave the crowd reason, right? I mean, it was about 80% full. Bad roads and cold weather and a late tip, so 12,000 or a little bit less. Not a bad crowd on that night, but they were loud. They were into it.
Well, there was a lot of scoring. Yeah, I mean, they put up 90-plus points on Michigan State. I think we talked about this yesterday. We wouldn't be surprised for this to be the game where they, you know, come close to an upset or even scored an upset.
You said that. I didn't believe that. So you get credit for that. I didn't see that coming.
This team was talented enough to be picked, fourth in the Big Ten in the preseason. So, yeah, I mean, they have the players to put up a really good offensive game. But again, I mean, I think you're looking at it as a whole. Their Achilles heel is still completely their Achilles heel. They haven't improved on that really at all since they started Big Ten play. Their defense has been terrible.
AD, do you like the stand? Giving
it, the opponent is a guaranteed lock for at least 80 points when you play Iowa.
Stand until they score. What do you think?
I'm glad they're trying to do something. I think it's kind of cheesy, to be honest.
Like, because so many other schools do it?
Yeah, and it feels kind of high school-y, right? Like, we're going to stand and throw toilet paper out or something, do something fun. It is what it is, I guess.
They're trying something.
It's hard to make a new tradition, right? It's hard, especially like the first day it happens. So in 10 years, maybe I'll be one of the guys who loves that everybody at Carver stands until Iowa scores their first point. The next day, it's hard to be like, oh, yeah, that was a really cool thing. I will say, though, at one point last night when I thought I was going to pull it out and win, that would have been their third win in a row at Carver Hawkeye Arena. And we give that place, and rightfully so, a lot of crap for the atmosphere and the kind of people who are there and all this stuff. It's taken a beating, not just this year, but over the last few years. But it seems that at least the last three games, I was at the Wisconsin game. They won against Minnesota. And then last night, it seems like the atmosphere has been really good. The team is kind of fed off that. I know Chad Leistico had a column about that today. And so just, props to the people who were over there who did make that trek, because they kept Iowa in that game in a lot of it.
Iowa State at Texas Tech tonight. The Cyclones beat the then number 8 Red Raiders by 18 points last month. That is Iowa State's largest margin of victory ever over a top 10 team. The Red Raiders will be ready tonight.
Yeah. They were down a guy.
Yeah, they haven't lost since.
Yeah.
Iowa State will be down two guys tonight, Hans Brace and Nick Weiler-Babb, so it'll be a short bench. Drake is at first place, Loyola with an opportunity. Loyola drilled the Bulldogs at Drake 2 weeks ago, but if you're going to get in this conference race at all, you got to win tonight. If you're gonna have any shot at winning it.
Yeah, I just want to see them in the game. I don't really care if they don't win. I'm so happy to see them get up and win at Bradley and stay in the hunt. It would be great for them to just be close in this game.
And that was the game that it was tied at like 51 with 9 minutes to go, and then Loyola ran away with it. So it
crazy
felt like
run.
A worse game than, the score was worse than it actually was.
Bradley is at Northern Iowa tonight. Northern Iowa is a surprising 11-13 on the season. Let's play Guess Whose Birthday, Dead or Alive, presented by Rockstar Satellite. AD, dead or alive?
We're back to alive today. Yeah, back to alive. Andy, guess whose birthday?
There are no wealthy black or brown people in America. We got some rich ones. Shaq is rich. The white man that signs his check is wealthy.
That's Chris Rock.
It is.
Chris Rock is 50.
He's 53, so that's a miss. Murph, guess whose birthday?
Potential trade between the Celtics and the Cavs that would basically swap the starting point guard. Kyrie Irving going to Boston, going to Cleveland.
Isaiah Thomas?
It is.
It took me a long time to get used to that, just him having the same name as a Hall of Fame
point
guard.
And not like being his son,
Yeah, I know. Isaiah Thomas is, he's 20, he's 28.
He's 29, so you do get the point. Andy, guess whose birthday?
Was born in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. He made headlines when he began dating actress Demi Moore, who was over 15 years his senior. The two married just 2 years later.
That's Ashton Kutcher.
It is.
Ashton Kutcher is 42.
He is 40. Happy birthday, Ashton. Man.
Really? He's only 40?
He's 40.
Man, he's been around a long time.
All right, Murph, you just need one or two here to win. Guess whose birthday?
Thunder rolls and lightning strikes.
That's Garth Brooks.
Yes, it is.
You remember he sold out like 6 shows at Wells Fargo Arena in a couple
of
days?
Yeah, I went to one. It was fantastic.
That's incredible. Garth Brooks is 54.
He's 56, but you still win.
I'm a rock star. Hey, baby, I'm a rock star.
Up next, the three-point play, 284-5966 for a shot at the $20 gift card, and Josh McDaniels pulls a Bill Belichick.
For three. He'll fire another long three. Good again! For three more. Yes!
Take a shot at the three-point play.
It is time for the three-point play presented by Applebee's. A $20 gift card to the winner. We'll start with Aaron. Aaron, name the sports voice.
Well, you know, it's been strange because some places we didn't score. Tonight we scored a lot of points, and maybe we didn't guard as well.
Aaron?
Tom Izzo?
No, it's Philadelphia Soul owner Bon Jovi. No, I'm just kidding. Aaron, it is Tom Izzo. Name this band. Well, that's some deep writing right there, isn't it? Those guys are not going to take
it. Sometimes that's all that needs to be said.
Yeah. Aaron, do you know who's not going to take it?
Twisted Sister.
Exactly right. Name this movie.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
Yeah, I stabbed a man in the heart.
I saw that. Brick killed a guy.
Aaron?
Pineapple Express?
It is not. Sorry, Aaron. Aaron got us near the finish line. RD can steal if you know the movie.
Can I hear it one more time?
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
Yeah, I stabbed a man in the heart.
I saw that. Brick killed a guy.
You know who that is?
No clue.
All right, thank you. Surprised we're going to go three deep on this, Barry. This is a chance to steal a win. Do you know it?
Anchorman. That's why, my friend, you are the balls.
It is Anchorman. I didn't think that would get to the third person.
Man,
you never know.
I thought, like, hey, maybe the artist was a little more difficult than normal, so I'd give you a layup on the movie. It ended up being the opposite.
It was the opposite. Big topic nationally. Boy, last night, I could go across every sports talk radio show while I was running to get something to eat, even across satellite radio, every single one of them was on the same topic. It was Josh McDaniels backing out of the Colts head coaching job after the Colts had already tweeted that they were carrying McDaniels' press conference today across all Colts platforms. General manager Josh Ballard, the Colts general manager, addressed this today.
So I live in a black and white world, Bob. Either you're in or you're out. I didn't want the explanation. Either you're in or you're out. Either you're in or out. 100% in or out.
This deal apparently was mostly agreed to a couple of weeks ago and then had to wait for McDaniels to finish the playoffs. There are many theories here, Andy, and I think all of them are pretty obvious. One is that the first thing that comes to mind, which I guess is we're now hearing is not going to happen, is that Bill Belichick is stepping down now and McDaniels is going to be the coach. But people who cover the Patriots say sources have said that's not the case. Belichick will be the coach next year. So then that leads you to, well, McDaniels has been promised that by Robert Kraft that he's the successor, that he'll be next whenever mm-hmm. Belichick does step down. So that's another theory. Robert Kraft is not over the Deflategate. The Colts turned the Patriots in, gave McDaniels a lot of reasons to stay at the last minute to really stick it to the Colts. Mm-hmm. These are all
theories. Yeah, maybe
all
passed him some money just to do it to the Colts.
We don't really know what happened other than Josh McDaniels changed his mind. And I am pro changing your mind here, whether it's a recruit or a sports reporter or a head coach, whatever. But this happened so late in the game that it's put some people in bad position, including, I guess, two assistants mm-hmm. that had been hired.
Yeah, he convinced them to come over there and to Indianapolis with him, and they had quit their jobs and got all set up going to Indianapolis, and then he backed out. I think the Colts are, I mean, they're a little bit butthurt to be spurned by anybody. I mean, I'm sure there are also Colts fans that were not a real big fan, that were not fans of the hire, because the jury is very much out on Josh McDaniels as a head coach.
He did not do well.
He can do well as an offensive coordinator for the Patriots. That's established.
I could probably do pretty well as the offensive coordinator.
Charlie Weiss was really good too. But you know, as far as being a head coach, I mean, he's 0-1, and he really was bad in Denver.
I don't think he made it through his second season.
Didn't make it through his second season. He had all sorts of turmoil and left that place with skid marks. I mean, it was rough.
Now, Bill Belichick was fired by the Browns, but when you take a closer look at that, that looks like a foolish firing. He had taken them to the playoffs and a playoff win, and then they had that move to Baltimore, so it was a messy time. There are extenuating circumstances there that do not quite equate to, well, Belichick was fired too, so it's the same thing. What is similar, especially if it's fresh in your mind from watching the two Bills, is that this happened with Belichick with the Jets. He twice was named head coach of the Jets and never coached a game for the Jets.
Well, as you're looking at this thing, though, and then you put two and two together and you remember that Greg Doyle is now the sports columnist at the Indianapolis Star.
I was just waiting, just sitting there waiting.
And he served it up. A delicious slice of sports column heaven. I mean, it just saber-toothed, venom-spitting, claws-drawn, so cathartic, I'm sure, for not only Colts fans, but probably Broncos fans, haters of Josh McDaniels all over the place.
And the Patriots, yeah.
And the Patriots.
Sure.
And they just are dying for something like this. And, you know, this re-demonstrates, as the Larry Nassar stuff re-demonstrates the power and need of good investigative journalism. I think this is a perfect example of why every newspaper needs a great sports columnist.
More than ever. You need somebody
that is an appointment.
Yeah, this was the impact that this had on me. As soon as McDaniels pulled out, in fact, I even put this on my social media thing, is just a guy sitting there like doing his fingers up and down, waiting, because I was like waiting for Greg Doyle's column. And then it came, and it did not disappoint.
No, not at all.
He sounds hurt. He sounds mad.
The headline is, and we met Greg Doyle. We had him on the radio show over there for the NCAA tournament at Wells Fargo Arena, and he's just like this. I mean, he was pissed at the NCAA when we were over there. Remember that, and the way that they had set things up over there? I don't remember exactly what it was.
He thought there wasn't enough space and the signs were not put up well.
Yeah, he couldn't find your way around. It just wasn't. He said he didn't blame Wells Fargo Arena, the Iowa Event Center, Des Moines. It was all on the NCAA. And again, a scathing column about that he cranked out. So he was mad. And, you know, Greg Doyle is, I mean, he backs it up. I mean, he is fair. He's tough. I'm sure everybody at some point has been pissed off at Greg Doyle, right?
Yeah.
But you keep reading.
Probably
because,
people in his family.
So yeah, sooner or later, he's going to come around and he's going to be on your side. And when he's speaking for you, it's cathartic.
Then you love it.
Oh, yeah.
Then he's your favorite.
Yeah, love it. So the headline is Doyle. Josh McDaniels is a selfish little jerk, but did Colts Indy a favor. Jeez. And he just tees it up and swings away. Some of the highlights. Josh McDaniels is a selfish little jerk, and he has succeeded only with Bill Belichick as his head coach and Tom Brady as his quarterback. Surrounded by greatness, he couldn't fail. Hell, not even Charlie Weiss could fail as offensive coordinator of the Patriots.
It's a pretty damning statement right there.
Just goes on and on. But he was on Colin Cowherd today.
That's on 1460 KXNO.
Yeah, right before our show. And again, I mean, he's not kidding around when he's writing. He basically just sounds like he is still going with his column when he's on Colin Cowherd.
There's a Lane Kiffin comparison here, okay?
No, there's not. No, there's not, because Lane Kiffin is a kind of a helpless, can't-help-himself boob. I mean, he just can't help. He's kind of like, I mean, he's kind of like a coaching version of Rob Gronkowski. He's just a big old puppy dog that just can't help walking in his own feces, okay? But Josh McDaniels is different. Josh McDaniels is a viper and a rattlesnake. No, he's a snake. And also, we have Denver. We can go back to, you know, you are who your actions say you are. This didn't happen in a vacuum. This isn't Matt Nagy that did this, okay? This is Josh McDaniels, who rolled into Denver carrying himself like Bill Belichick and was so miserable they couldn't wait to fire him. And at this point, we still don't know why they fired him. Was it because he sucked as a coach because they did lose? Was it because the team cheated when he was head coach because they did get caught cheating? Or is it because people hated him in the organization because they did hate him? He is what he is, Colin. Please don't try to make to apologize for Josh McDaniels. At this point, if they hired Lane Kiffin tomorrow, I'd take that because I'll take a big puppy dog that steps in his own crap. I don't want to have a snake that slithers around my feet.
Oh, man. And what's interesting and what makes me want to go listen to that podcast is Colin Cowherd, who, of course, follows the NFL very closely, and the Patriots in particular, he thought this was a great hire by the Colts. He loves the Josh McDaniels hire for the Colts. So Greg Doyle had Colin Cowherd back on his heels a little bit there. This is interesting, this exchange I saw today. Tony Dungy writes... there is no excuse big enough to justify this. It's one thing to go back on your word to an organization, but having assistant coaches leave jobs to go with you, then leave them out to dry is indefensible. For comfort, question mark. Sage Rosenfels replies to Tony Dungy. Remember that time my college coach was fired, yet the NCAA wouldn't let me transfer? Remember that time when you traded Lawyer Malloy, our team captain, to Buffalo the week before the season? Remember that time I signed that contract, moved my family? Then you released me.
Yeah.
There's another side to this.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a business.
He did, yeah. He put up some good arguments there. He did.
Somebody asked Sage, Thomas Rankins asked Sage moments ago, have you ever relocated for a job, packed up your family items, then put money down on a lease? And Sage responds, yes, 7 times.
When you're a player, though, don't you expect that? It's different than when you're a coach.
You should expect it because it does happen.
I appreciate
all the
Sage,
time.
But I think it's different when you're a coach. When you're going to be a part of a coaching staff, I mean, I think there's a lot of trust there.
Yeah, you're moving into a real position of overall leadership.
This is your
and
buddy,
management.
Right? I mean, usually these guys are friends.
Randy, you have a thought on Greg Doyle going scorched earth?
Well, kind of contradictory. You did us a favor, but yet he skates the guy.
He sounds mad.
Celebratory and say, yeah. Yay, we dodged a bullet. We didn't get this guy. He wasn't the right fit for our organization. If it wasn't the right fit, why is he skating the guy?
Yeah, I know your point, yeah. But that's not his personality.
Well, no, I mean, he points all that out in his column and is basically
saying he's like, the
Colts should be jumping for joy. That Josh McDaniels was going to be a really bad hire. They did us a favor. But at the same time, he's calling him a selfish little jerk for what he did to these other assistants.
Here's why he did you a favor. Right. Did you see this? That Rob Gronkowski's house was robbed during the Super Bowl? And it should be pointed out, because it always surprises me, because he's not the guy you would necessarily think of as being really financially savvy. But Rob Gronkowski reportedly banks all his NFL paychecks. He lives off his endorsements. He hasn't spent any of his NFL money.
Yeah, but he's totally filthy rich, but of course he has roommates, right? Of
how he could bank his checks.
No. Of course he has roommates because he lives in a fraternity house, right? I mean, he does.
A really high-end fraternity
house.
Yeah,
absolutely. You could see that. Since his own bedroom was locked, even though the house was burglarized.
Hang on.
No, hang on.
House bedroom was locked?
You can hear him call. He says, he calls 911. He doesn't know how to just call the regular police department. But he's like, this is not an emergency. My house was burglarized. This is Rob Gronkowski. I was at the Super Bowl. My house was broken into. Now,
it's kind of an emergency.
His bedroom was locked. So they didn't take anything from his bedroom. Well, first of all, who locks their bedroom from the outside?
Matt Lauer.
Well, no, Rob Gronkowski does, because he's got roommates. Because there's been a conversation like this. All right, I'm going out of town again. I don't want any of you dudes scoring with chicks on my bed, so I'm locking the door. All right? Don't go in and use my bathroom. You're going to spill bong water into my urine. All right, brah? Stay out of my room. I'm putting a lock on the door. You know that That's what's going on there. He lives in a fraternity house. What other bedroom has got a lock on the outside?
Well, it's
in
not
a fraternity house.
How do you lock a bedroom from the outside?
I don't know.
A key?
I mean, you just have. He has a locksmith come up there and puts a deadbolt on it, I guess. That, or maybe it's just one of those just total jerry-rigged padlocks on the outside of it.
Could be.
Yeah. Stay out of my room,
brah.
Quit trying to score with chicks in Gronk's room, brah. You can hear that. But, of course, he has roommates. I mean, yeah. This guy's got more money. His endorsement checks allow him to buy one of the most expensive houses in Boston.
Every day's a party, or could be if he wants it to be.
And see, here's what I – how'd you like to get caught robbing Rob Gronkowski's house?
Not at all.
No, not at all. Because he's probably got his roommates, maybe they're football players, probably other big guys like him. You know what I can see? I can see them – catching the guy, locking him up in a trunk in the basement a la Pulp Fiction and making him into a gimp. Not for sex, but so that they always have somebody to play Xbox against. Wake up, the gimp. I want to play Madden. Guy gets up, has to play. Then they lock him up again in the trunk when they're done.
If you had to get caught by a great Patriots tight end
pool against
robbing their house, you pick Gronk over Aaron Hernandez.
Yes, absolutely.
The late Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Jeez.
That's all you say there. Yeah, and you can almost hear the panic. All right, which Patriots tight end's house did you go into?
Gronk.
Okay.
All right, just give him a beer. He'll be fine. Give him a shot.
Lock me up in the basement. I'll play Xbox.
We'll get
Don't
to
call Hernandez.
We'll get to throwdowns coming up next on the Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO. Don't make
me throw it down. It's time for throwdowns. Powered by Heartland Tire and Auto Center.
All right, let's throw it down. Murph, Josh McDaniels is not going to be the Colts' next head coach, instead opting to stay with New England. Which job would you rather have, Colts head coach or Patriots offensive coordinator?
Oh, man. That's the only one you would give any pause on, because as the offensive coordinator, you are in charge of an offense that Tom Brady is going to make you look good, even if you lose your deep threat or your potentially Hall of Fame tight end or your top receiver. All those things happened to the Patriots this year, and none of it mattered. But I would still rather be the head coach. I mean, I think that's mostly what you're working toward, is the opportunity to be a head coach and put everything you've learned into action. And Josh McDaniels, despite what Greg Doyle has said he learned many lessons from his failures in Denver and is ready to be a successful head coach again. But now he better be a successful head coach at New England, because I think it's pretty tough to think that anyone else is going to offer him a head coaching job after that.
Right, and going to be even tougher to follow Bill Belichick.
That's true.
I mean, it all comes down to whether or not you have anything to prove. This is what you want to do. For me, I'm not a head guy. I'm just not. If I had a position like that with Bill Belichick, and you know that he's a guy that puts a lot of faith and loyalty in his coordinators, I would be just fine with that. I would not really have any interest in going to try and save some downtrodden program that, you know, has a real iffy quarterback, and, you know, there's just a night and day difference between that quarterback and anybody else. That I think I would be just fine being the offensive coordinator with Bill Belichick.
Andy, I'm excited for the Olympics, but I am a little disappointed that the NHL players won't play this year. How much does this impact your interest in Olympic hockey?
A lot, hugely. If you're watching a game and you don't recognize any of the names being called out, that immediately has an impact on your interest in the game. I mean, you can watch the game itself and be interested, but when you know the players, you're watching for certain things, right? I mean, certain traits. I mean, if there's a guy that you know has a big shot, you're waiting for him to shoot. You got a guy that really can stick handle, you're waiting for him to get the puck in open space. And a big hitting defenseman, if he's on the ice, your eyes are on him all the time to wait for him to put a big body check on somebody. When you have no idea who anybody is or what they do, Oh man, that kills my interest.
We're very different on this because I'm more interested in the hockey without the NHL players for a couple of reasons. One, I'm not the hockey fan or anywhere near it that Andy is, so I don't know most of these players anyway. So it kind of appeals to me to see the younger faces that remind me of the time before the NHL players, which reminds me of the Miracle on Ice and the college players or ex-college players coming together and not really feeling, and no one else feeling like they really had any chance to win a medal and finding a way to get it done. So it appeals to the nostalgia in me, and it also appeals to the guys who truly appreciate this opportunity because maybe they no longer have their dream in play, which is the NHL. So I like it more.
All right, Murph, this is from TWard1282 on Twitter. Should dodgeball still be played in PE class?
I think it should. And I loved dodgeball, and I realize that it can be a not fun game if you're a kid that gets hit with the dodgeball a lot, but you know, that's life. It prepares you to be knocked down. Sometimes you're in a game that you're not good at. You need to find something else. I think dodgeball prepares you for life. So I would like to play it in PE if I were back in school. And I would tell the kids not to aim at the head, but they would anyway.
Well, yeah, I loved playing dodgeball, and therefore I probably think that I shouldn't be qualified to answer this question because yeah, I loved it. I got to play and I played well. But the problem is there's like half of the kids sit over in the corner and do nothing. They get no exercise. The class is called physical education and they do nothing physical. They're just completely excluded from the game. So you have to kind of think of the big picture. I mean, yeah, we all like to think of ourselves as these, you know, the macho good athletes that get out there and, you know, are good at these games, but there are a bunch of other students that you have to consider their needs also, and you're trying to, you know, half the time they're the ones that really need the exercise. So, yeah, I mean, if they cannot find a dodgeball, a way in dodgeball to get all of the kids active and enjoying it and running around out there, then you need to find something else to do, I mean, realistically.
All right, the poll is up on Twitter at Murph_Andy. Who won throwdowns? Was it Murph or was it Andy?
The Nebraska spring football game is sold out.
Oh, stop. That changes everything.
It is sold out.
Stop the presses.
Scott, of course it is. Scott Frost.
Wasn't it sold out last year?
I don't think it was sold out.
No, yeah. I don't think so.
Right now.
Well, it's been sold out for many times before.
The secondary market tickets for the spring game, there are some out there right now for hundreds of dollars. If you pay hundreds of dollars to see a spring football game, check yourself in, man.
Oh, I know. To watch them practice. Haven't we been talking about Nebraska fans doing this for, like, ever since they came up with a spring game?
But it's sold out now. It's early February. I mean, how excited are they for Scott Frost?
Is this honestly earlier than they have in the past?
I feel like it is. Yeah, I feel like sold out.
I don't remember
us
mentioning it before, but, they're excited for Scott Frost. I think they got a right to be.
Man, he better win the national championship in the spring game.
Well, do they have to pay for these tickets? Or do they just claim them all? Would you really charge your fans to come see a practice?
I hope not. I don't think so. I don't know. We'll ask Cooter Ray. He'll know. Trending Iowa is at the start of hour number two, plus self-proclaimed national recruiting expert Chris Hassel with the inside scoop.